I like the song that that we used to sing. We need to sing this song again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a glorious day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Rapture, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Rapture, Part 1.
And as I look at the world situation as it is today, my prayer, and I'm sure the prayer of a lot of us, is come quickly, Lord Jesus. It just seems like, you know, things are getting worse. Now, you know, I'm not going to be a pessimist because I know every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So, you know, we can, as saints, you know, we can enjoy our lives and have peace and joy and blessings because of who we know. But looking at the world in general, it seems like the world, you know, things are just getting worse. You know, you hear more and more demonic activities. You know, you see just crazy stuff that's happening. So, you know, our hope is the rapture. As a matter of fact, somebody called the rapture the blessed hope. All right. What we are talking about, and that is the rapture. We're talking about, saints, the rapture. Very interesting topic. And I'm going to share with you some things on the rapture. We're probably going to be in the rapture for the next 3 weeks. And I'm going to share with you some things that will paint a different perspective. Maybe on the rapture like you've never heard before. So we're going to jump into this thing called the rapture. All right, let's begin. I want to start with a brief introduction and what, you know, as far as what the rapture is. Jesus will come back, as we just got finished hearing about in the song. He will come back and take his bride, the church, to his Father's house. I heard somebody say, and you've probably heard me say it on many occasions, that I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm not looking for the one who's going to bury me and put me under, I'm looking for the one who's going to take me up in the clouds to meet him. Jesus will come back and take his bride, the church, to the Father's house. Now, this will be followed, and maybe at some point later on in the year, we can look at the tribulation. This will be followed by a 7-year period known as the tribulation. And this will be when all hell breaks out here on the earth. Now, and we're going to study this in detail, but there's actually two comings of Christ, right? There's the rapture, and then there's the second coming of Christ. And these are two different events. Now, in order for the rapture to take place, there's nothing that has to be fulfilled, nothing at all. You know, that's the next event on God's prophetic calendar. In order for the second coming to take place, there's a whole lot of things that have to, be fulfilled. So as far as the rapture is concerned, you know, I believe back in 1948, when Israel became a nation, that was the last thing that needed to be fulfilled before Christ would come back. So again, this is the time when Jesus comes back, and after he comes back, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this earth. Now let's look at this word rapture. Okay, so saints, you can look high and you can look low, but you will not find the word rapture in the Bible. All right. It's not in there. So, you know, don't let anybody catch you up or let you get caught up by saying, well, you know, why do you believe in the rapture? It's not even in the Bible. So don't let anybody throw you off, because Pastor Glaze is telling you that the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, so where do we get this word rapture from? Okay, it actually comes from the Latin word raptio, and it means to be caught up or snatched away. So even though the word rapture is not in the Bible, the concept of the rapture is all in the scripture. All right, and that's what we're going to show you, that even though the word is not in the Bible, that the concept of the rapture is all in the scripture. And one of the places that we find it, and we're going to look at this passage today in a little more detail, one of the places we find it is in 1 Thessalonians, that should be 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 18, where it talks about Christ will come back for his saints. And it says they will be caught up, raptured. They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, verse 17, as he talks about caught up, what is the word caught up? You know, it comes from a Greek word, harpazo. I like that word. I like to say that word. All right. Harpazo. We might think of harpoon. Harpazo is the Greek word. And it means, where it says caught up, it means to seize, to catch up, or to pluck out by force, right? So one day we're going to be harpazo, right? So now again, you might want to write this down. If you don't write it down on paper, you write it down on your heart. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, but the concept of the rapture is all throughout the Bible. All right. So you want to remember that. Again, I'm going to say, don't let anybody trip you up by saying, why do you believe in a rapture? That word is not even found in the Bible. No, it's not found in the Bible, but the concept of it is all throughout scripture. Now, let's look at a little chart that I put together. The fourfold aspect of the rapture. The fourfold aspect of the rapture. So this will help you to remember it. Coming back, coming out, coming up, coming together. Amen. I like that right there. Who thought of that? No, I'm just kidding. All right. The fourfold aspect of the rapture. There's a coming back. Christ is coming back to gather his people together. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Christ is coming back. Jesus, what did he tell the disciples in Acts 2 or Acts 1 when he ascended back to heaven? Well, not Jesus, but the angels. They said, this same Jesus who was taken from you shall come back in like manner. So Christ is coming back. That's the blessed hope, saints. When we look at this world that we are in today, when we see all the tragedies in the world, and somebody brought up the attacks on the black colleges and the looming war in Russia, you know, and so, you know, when you look at that, even that, all this is prophetic. All this is prophetic. Maybe during this, after I get done, I'm not sure when, but I need to teach a series on Ezekiel 38 and 39, because it talks about Russia. It talks about the fact that Russia will be a player in the end times. You know, it talks about the battle of Gog and Magog, and Russia is all in it. There's other Muslim countries that are in it. Iran, Libya, Jordan. You know, the Bible talks about all this. So, you know, we should not be taken by surprise if we know our scripture. We should not be taken by surprise, because it talked about all these things. And the fact that Jesus is coming back again. I like the song that that we used to sing. We need to sing this song again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a glorious day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. So he is coming back. No question about that. When he comes back, there's going to be what? A coming out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the dead, what did Sandy Patty say? The sleeping will rise from their slumbering graves. Now, it's not the person that's going to rise, because when the person died, they went to be with the Lord. What's going to come out of the grave is their body, right? Their bodies will rise up out of the grave. And, you know, when you think about this, somebody said, then the saints will come up to meet them in the air after that. And somebody said, well, why are the dead going to rise first? And another person answered, because they got 6 feet to catch up with us. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all know me by now, right? Y'all know me by now. Y'all know when I'm joking, right? But I like that. Somebody said, why are the dead going to rise first? Because they got 6 feet to go to catch up with us. All right. But the dead, that, you know, think of every funeral that you've gone to, your loved ones. Now, I know today that cremation is pretty big and people are being cremated. And you know what? I have a brochure that I did. I did a study on cremation, and you want to get that. You want to get that, especially in light of let Naomi know that you want that that brochure on cremation. I'll get it to her, and she can get it to you. But you know, we have a lot of people that are getting cremated today, and they're gonna say, well, how are the dead gonna rise out of their graves? You know what? How is God going to resurrect ashes? Well, let me ask this question. How many people died at sea, right? And their bodies, you know, were either disintegrated in the ocean or maybe devoured, or even people that died in fires and became ashes. You know what? God is able to put it all back together again. God is able to bring the body back together again. So when it talks about the dead coming out of their graves, it's talking about God's ability. Oh, somebody pray with me now. Somebody pray with me now. It's talking about God's ability to be able to bring the body back together again. It's talking about God's ability to be able to resurrect the body again. So when the dead come out of the graves, it's not talking about the person that you knew and the person that you loved. It's talking about their body. Because, you know, they're already in heaven with God. You know, I have a favorite little poem that I like to recite at funerals. And it goes like this. Beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease, is only his pod. Pease has been shelled out and gone home to God. Amen. Amen. So when we put that body in the ground, that person that you knew, the person that you love, the person that you hold dear, that they have gone to be in the presence of the Lord. So there's a coming back. Jesus is coming back, and there's a coming out. The dead will come out of their graves. And then look at this. I like this. This is what I'm looking for. The blessed hope. There's the coming up. The saints coming up in the air to meet Jesus. Notice again, then we who are alive and remain shall be raptured, right? Raptured, caught up. So again, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but harpazo, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so there is a coming back. There is a coming out. There is a coming up, and praise God, there is a coming together, and that is one day the assembly of the firstborn, right? The dead and the living will gather together in the presence of the Lord, coming together, the body of Christ coming together. Oh, what a glorious day it will be. Jesus is coming again. There's a coming together, when a great reunion, when you'll see all your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. Oh man, you know what? I've been pastor of Bethany. It's going on 32 years now. And over the years, you know what? I've kept every funeral that I've done at Bethany. I've kept the program, and I put them away by each year. And over the years, man, you know, just think of, you know, I remember when I first came to Bethany, and just think of the deacon board. And now most of those deacons are gone that were on the board when I came. But you know what a glorious day is going to be. What did the songwriter say? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Over these past 32 years, all the saints that I've seen gone on to go on to glory, that one day is going to be a great reunion when we will gather together again, right? So if you want to remember the fourfold aspect of the rapture, and you know, maybe next week I'm going to get and do some comparison and show you, I'm going to give you a play-by-play blow of the rapture. All right, we're gonna go back and forth between a couple passages and give you a play-by-play blow. But the fourfold aspect of the rapture: a coming back, a coming out, a coming up, and a coming together. Woo! Amen. Amen. Oh man, come quickly, Lord Jesus. All right. Now, Pastor Glaze is gonna shoot straight with you. I'm gonna shoot straight with you that not everybody believes there's gonna be a rapture. Right? Not everybody believes that. You might even have some friends. Maybe you have some good Presbyterian friends. Maybe you have some good Catholic friends. If they know their theology, right? They don't believe in a rapture. All right. If they go back and study their theology, at its root, you know, they don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. There's a whole lot of people on TV that's teaching that there's not going to be a rapture. There's a whole lot of people on the radio that's teaching that there's not going to be a rapture. I'm going to do something next week. You don't want to miss next week, because one of the big arguments that there's not going to be a rapture is people say that the rapture is something that didn't come into existence until the 18 and 1900s. They said it was popularized by Schofield, that there was a young lady that popularized it, and another preacher that, and they said, you didn't even hear for all these years, you heard nothing about a rapture until the 18 and 1900s, right? And so they say, you know, there's no history of the church ever believing in a rapture. Ah, my friend, you want to join us, because we're going to show you that throughout history, that the church has always believed that Jesus was coming back again. You know, what did Paul say? I can't remember which one of the letters that it was, but he ended his letter with the words, Maranatha, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So those of us who hold the pre-millennial view, and that basically is that we believe that Jesus will come back before the 1,000-year reign. This is our viewpoint of the rapture, and that is Christ will come unexpectedly and take the church off of the earth and back to heaven with him. That's the premillennial view. And so we who are premillennialists believe that there will be a rapture. And then you have the amillennial and the postmillennial view. Now, you know, what is an amillennialist? Somebody said that's a person that says, oh, there ain't gonna be no millennial. Right? But these two groups right here, And actually, you know, I could do a study on amillennialism and postmillennialism. You know, I can do a study on those two things because, you know, those are very deep theological teachings again, by many mainline churches that today. So they don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. They believe one day, now they do believe in the return of Christ. So let me say that, you know, they do believe that Jesus will return. You know, one group, well, actually, the amillennialists, what they believe is that we are in the millennial right now, right? So if you look at the millennial, you know, that's a time when Christ is going to rule and reign. You know what? They said right now, all millennials say that the devil is bound, you know, during the millennial. So they believe that we're in the millennium right now. And I tell you what, if we're in the millennium right now, I tell you, God must not be too powerful. Jesus must not be on the throne. During the millennial, Jesus will be on the throne. He will rule and reign on the throne with the rod. So Jesus is not ruling now, but this is what our millennials will tell us. They'll tell us that we are in the millennium right now. And then you have the post-millennial view that says that Jesus is not coming back until after the millennium, all right? So neither one of these groups say there's going to be a rapture. Again, they do believe that Christ will return to earth and establish his kingdom. They don't think he's not coming to take anybody back to heaven, but he will rule and reign here on this earth. So again, the two main viewpoints, the premillennial view is that there will be a rapture. Christ will come back and take his people back to the Father's house. And then our millennial and postmillennial don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. All right. So again, I want you to know, you know, because you might go out there tiptoeing through the tulips, skipping along, thinking that everybody believes that there's going to be a rapture. Nope, that's not true. Everybody doesn't believe it. But the goal that I have over the next 2 weeks is to show you that the Bible presents strong evidence for the rapture, a pre-trib, pre-millennial rapture. All right. Let's look at some key passages concerning the rapture. Key passages, John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. We can stop right there. I can preach on that. I can go on that for a while, but I'm gonna move on. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's letting them know that he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go back to glory. All right. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, saints, let me ask you a question. For those that don't believe in the rapture, he said he's coming back. And he didn't say he was coming back to earth. Notice what he said. He didn't say I'm coming back to earth. He said, I will come again and I will receive you. What I'm going to take you to where I'm at. I'll receive you unto myself. Now, this is very interesting. This passage right here, what Jesus is saying, is actually based on the wedding ceremony or the wedding process back during the Jewish day. You know, there would be a guy, and he would come, and he might see a lady in the marketplace, or he might start. Here's like in the Bible, there's no dating in the Bible, right? You don't read in the Bible where people dated.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Rapture, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Rapture, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Rapture, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Rapture, Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.